Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we had a chance to talk with our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. And then lastly, some great fishing tips for you from walleye tournament pro Keith Cabayas. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
The Hayward area is a true snowmobile mecca with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, you'll find us at Hayward Power Sports. We're open from 9 until 5:30, Monday through Saturday, with sales, service, parts, and rentals. Plus on Sundays, we're open for rental pickup and drop-off only from 9 to noon. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service departments Monday through Saturday. With state-of-the-art computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, 509, and Klein. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and Castle helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down in Hayward Bait and Bottle, talking to Jarrett McCarthy. And Jarrett, we passed that stretch of cold weather, but it did make a difference from what I'm hearing already on the ice out there.
It did, and I've seen a couple of my buddies out that were fishing. It looked like it made quite the difference out on the lakes that I had sent them to as well. So, you know, we got some fairly decent ice conditions now. We got some really nice weather to go out and fish in.
Easy enough to get around. I know we were out with snowmobiles on one of the lakes the other day. I mean, a neighbor, and we didn't find a lot of snow, you know, 6-7 inches of snow you kick through and you want up that ice, that white ice basically is a frozen slush on top, which still probably not the best stuff for driving a vehicle out on, but for snowmobiles and ATVs and walking, it's going to be a lot easier with that, not so much snow.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's still some snow out there, but as far as getting around out on the ice, you know, most of the guys that we're walking and taking, you know, snowmobiles out there, you know, it's looking like, you know, if we get some, a little bit more cold, we could be set up for a really nice late ice period with getting your wheelers and your UTVs out there. So, yeah, that cold weather really did help.
You know, and that type of ice, it tends to melt quick, too, when we get to warm weather. So maybe you throw it open water quicker this year.
Oh, I'm excited for open water. I'm ready for it.
Let's talk about what they're catching out there. Are most of the people going after panfish?
Yep, most people are after panfish right now. Crappies are fairly easy to pattern right now. Most of them are out in the basins between 20 and 30 feet out there. They're pretty schooled up, so easy to find. Bluegills are still going to be out deep or near structure, cribs, swedes, what have you. But, yeah, as far as what I've been seeing this last weekend or this last week in general, people are getting out there and they're catching some fish.
How about perch? You hearing anything on the perch yet?
Haven't heard anything on the perch yet, but I know that is right around the corner. A lot of guys are going to be headed out there fishing the mud flats for the perch that are coming up, getting ready to spawn. You know, using some small jigs, some bloodworm imitations, seeing some guys come in, pick some stuff out of the shop. So, yeah, that's right around the corner there. It's going to be a good perch bite.
You bet. You know, and there are some decent-sized perch. Not a lot of the real big jumbos on our lakes here, but, you know, playable perch, and perch are great eating.
Absolutely. Of course they are.
You bet. Northern pike fishing. How about that? Anything going on there?
Yeah, I've been seeing some guys getting some nice pike this last week. Not as hot as the panfish. It doesn't seem like there are as many guys out there fishing pike or walleye right now. It's just kind of that midwinter blues as far as game fish goes. But there's some guys out there having success.
Yeah, and it's getting to be the time of year when you can get some good action on dead bait, too.
Absolutely. You know, as we've gone through, especially with all the snow and weight on the ice that we've had this year and, you know, that early snow, a lot of lakes will start losing a lot of their oxygen in the shallow waters, and we'll start getting some winter kill, and some of those weaker fish will start dying off, and those pike will key in on those dead baits. And, you know, if you've got smelt or if you've got dead minnows or what have you, that smell is going to attract pike from a ways off, and they'll come in, they'll nose down right into the mud, and they'll grab that bait. So, you know, if you've got dead minnows or what have you in your bucket, you know, don't throw them on the ice. Use them for pike.
Well, I've heard guys catching them on hot dogs, too. I mean, anything they'll smell, they'll eat.
Yep, I've seen that, too. I've heard that they really like mustard. Yep.
I don't know about that, but maybe a little ketchup and mustard on there. How about walleye fishing? That typically has been a little bit on the slow side, but that usually picks up that last couple of weeks of the season.
Yep, as far as walleyes go, we haven't heard much going on for walleyes, but as those fish start to move up towards where they're going to go spawn, those fish should start to become a little bit more active. But the few that we are continuing to hear that are getting caught, they're still in that midwinter pattern, so we still got a little ways to go before we get there.
You bet. You know, and just now I had a guy in here at the shop I was talking to that report up on the Shawmigan Bay. Saw that they got plenty of ice out there off of Second Landing, and guys are getting out, and up there there's even off the— he said there were some guys driving out there already. So.
Yeah, I drove through Ashland yesterday just out there doing some stuff with the wife. And, yeah, we saw quite a few vehicles out there. So looks like people are accessing the lake and getting around fairly easily. So there's definitely a bite up there to be had.
Yeah, that probably froze up a little after all that snow came. So the snow just wound up being in the lake.
Yep, absolutely. Which is a good thing.
It's a good thing. You know, and getting ready for the open water season. I mean, you know, here we are basically recording this at the beginning of February. We only got a few more weeks of winter normally. Starting to get stuff into the shop here, aren't you, for open water?
Absolutely. We're already starting to convert. We got some new product coming in, you know, just about every day. We just saw some new Rapala stuff coming in today. But yeah, we're going to have a whole bunch of goodies this summer. We, you know, we talked about Z-Man in the past, but one of the other things that we're taking a look at this year, we're increasing our line with hair jigs, especially with panfish, because that's, you know, getting a lot of attention these past couple of years. So we've got some new stuff coming in from Mr. Crappie and Widowmaker, and some stuff that we think that everybody you'll be excited about.
Well, Jarrett, I want to thank you for taking the time here. I know you guys, like I said, you guys are getting ready for the spring. People can stop by if they're like information on any of the lakes for ice fishing or anything. You guys can help maybe point guys in the right direction and stuff.
Absolutely. You know, all your local lakes that you're looking to head out and fish, you know, we've heard something on it. So stop on by and get the local report. If you're looking to stock up on anything ice-wise, we've still got it. And if you're looking to get ahead of the game and, you know, throw some brand new gear in your tackle box for this coming spring and summer, yeah, we've got a little bit of that too, so we're ready for you.
Well, Jarrett, thanks again.
Thanks for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we've got a very interesting talk with our local Wisconsin DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Rent some winter fun from Hayward Power Sports. We're Wisconsin's largest and most complete snowmobile rental service, offering a wide range of late model sleds from Polaris and Skidoo. All of our machines are frequently serviced by our certified technicians, and your rental includes a helmet. Plus, you'll be able to ride out the gate with access to 600 miles of groomed trails. To rent your winter fun, go to haywardpowersports.com, give us a call, or visit Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
And Hayward Power Sports, let's have some fun!
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one of the people I get on here from time to time is our local Wisconsin DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter. Had a chance to talk to Max the other day on the phone about our lakes and winter ice fishing.
Max, good to have you on the show here again in the middle of the winter here.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Maybe it feels like we're kind of over the hump. The sun's shining a little more brightly, a little more powerful. I know we still got a ways to go on winter, but definitely starting to feel like we can think about spring.
Well, it's not been a great year for the ice fishing people out there. A lot of snow on the ice and a lot of slush. And finally here after that sub-zero stretch we had a couple of days, looks like a lot of that slush froze up, so guys be able to get around out there. But there's still not really what you call strong ice.
No, there's not. I don't know if I've seen anywhere with more than, you know, 12 inches of ice. It seems like kind of what we got around here. So folks, you know, definitely need to be safe throughout the rest of this season. And that ice is maybe going to get a little thicker, but at some point, you know, obviously it'll start getting weaker too. So be careful out there, especially if you're someone that's been waiting and waiting and waiting for this slush to be gone and you now want to start running around all over. You know, it's just not great ice. It's just been kind of one of those winters that's been tough, I guess. And if you want to try to find a glass half full approach, maybe the fish have gotten a little bit of a break and maybe it'll help some populations out and you'll find some good stuff once you get out there.
Well, Max, you know, we had a lot of snow. We didn't have a lot of ice when that snow come. And now it seems like we've got more white, real opaque ice than we do clear ice, which is going to cut off a lot of the light through the waters. What kind of effect is that going to have, you think, on the fish, the fisheries?
We do have a lot of, like you said, challenges for light penetrating through the ice. And the biggest effect people will see on that is on the aquatic plants. And they'll start turning brown. It won't be producing oxygen in the same way that they would be if they were getting lots of light. And so fish can leave those areas, especially later in the winter. When the light starts getting through again, if things start to, you know, get thinner, those plants will come back. Pretty remarkable how they do it. But you might find that, you know, some of the weed beds that have held fish in the past aren't holding them this year. I guess that hasn't been my experience, but the few times I've been out ice fishing, still finding fish in weeds up until, you know, this first weekend in February, and hard to predict what that'll look like going forward, but yeah, you know, every year's a little different, and anglers always have to kind of react and adapt.
Well, you know, it has been years where that becomes an oxygen problem, too. I don't know. It's kind of early to tell whether we'll have that this year, but if we don't get an early breakup, you know, that would compound things worse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right. So, you know, the way to think about oxygen in the winter is as soon as you get that ice cover, you know, the timer starts, and they have that amount of oxygen to get through until the ice is gone. We didn't have a particularly early ice up this year. I'd say it was kind of on the normal side of things. So not terribly concerned about how winter started. If plants aren't making as much oxygen, that can use it up a little faster. But I guess I haven't seen or heard of anything that sounds real troubling yet. But obviously the make or break point is always the very end of winter. How long is that ice going to hang on? With it being thinner, I guess if I had to guess, I'd say maybe going to go out a little sooner than other years once we get those really warm mid to late March days and that really powerful sun. Maybe it'll take care of it pretty quick and we won't have to worry too much about any winter kill type stuff. Hard to say for sure. It's all just kind of guessing at this point.
It sure is. One thing for sure is, though, that more white ice, crystal, frozen snow tends to melt quicker than black clear ice does.
Yes, sure, yeah.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit about winter biology on the lakes. You know, people think, well, in the summertime we got bug hatches going on and we've got all kinds of food in the lakes. But there's things that go on under the ice, too, as far as insects and larvae and stuff, isn't there?
Yeah, you bet. So I was fishing recently with my son, and we were out on the lake, and kids always are a little bit more perceptive. And so I was drilling holes, and he said, "Dad, there's stuff swimming around in the hole." I looked down, and sure enough, there's mayfly larvae coming up. So they're out, they're active in the winter. That's something that panfish are definitely going to be interested in. You know, they're about the size of a waxworm and just kind of do this fun little squiggly dance that looks just like somebody jigging something. So if you're thinking about, you know, what your presentation is, you know, you're mimicking something that those fish are already seeing down there and are already keyed in on.
Well, you said
colors and stuff, but yeah.
You said mayfly larva. There's other types of larva, too, out there. It's not just one type of bug.
Right, for sure. Yep, that was just what we happened to see on that particular day. But there's all kinds of things. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of different types of aquatic insects, invertebrates that have aquatic larval forms that are laying eggs that are hatching at different points throughout the year. And people are always, you know, sometimes surprised to hear how much is going on, even when our lakes are fully covered with ice. There's still a whole world going on down there, and even though it's very cold water.
Well, you know, we typically start to see a lot of that stuff start to get more active underneath the ice toward the evening. But as we get later in the wintertime and we get more snow cover, that can happen a lot earlier. I think it's a light thing, is it, that brings that zooplankton and all that larva get kicked moving and stuff down there? What happens there?
Yeah, you know, it's no different than the rabbits running around in your yard, right at dark or right in the morning. You know, they're worried about predators, and so they figured out the time of day when they can kind of sneak around the best. Bugs are doing the same thing. They're keying in on those low-light time periods to go out and do their feeding. And, you know, fish are aware of that, and they're going to still try to go out and eat them. And it's kind of just the whole predator-prey game, and we get to be a part of it by mimicking the prey and being predators ourselves. So, yeah, evening time, you know, that's why you often get that crappie bite or that bluegill bite half hour before dark. It's because things are getting more active and the fish are aware of that.
Well, you know, typically we start looking in at deeper water when we get toward fall and into winter, and a lot of the fish move deeper and deeper, and that's because I think the water temperature is the warmest on the bottom. They'd seek out that warmer water, but what happens once you get in the middle, late winter when a lot of those fish start coming up? Is it an oxygen problem that forces them up into that colder water?
Yep, that's exactly it. Get that late season pinch where the water is warmest at the bottom, but also the first place where the oxygen can be depleted. They will basically stay as close to the bottom as they can, where they can still find good oxygen. That's why you see them sort of incrementally moving up, moving up, moving up, and then in a real bad winter, they'll be right under the ice, which is not where they want to be, and that can be very stressful for the fish, even with implications for things like their body condition and how many eggs they're going to produce that year. If they have a really tough winter, they start, you know, using up that energy that would otherwise go into eggs. So, I haven't seen much sign of that yet, but again, you know, you don't know how long a winter is going to go on, and the fish will do whatever they need to do to survive and live to spawn another day.
Well, you know, fishing in general, you know, oxygen levels is something a lot of people don't think about, but it's actually something in the summertime that can be a factor, because when you have cloud cover, you know, versus bright sunny days, the weeds are putting out oxygen. And, you know, they can quit when you get darker days. But oxygen levels cause fish movements, summer or winter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you and I would certainly move if we were in a room that didn't have oxygen, and fish are doing the same thing. I don't know a lot of anglers that are out there running around with oxygen meters to measure that kind of stuff. But once you kind of understand the general patterns, it may help you find some fish, especially at certain times of the year. Certain depths to avoid, things like that. But it's, you know, I would say oxygen and temperature, those are the two big things that fish are always looking for, even more than food. You know, they kind of have to have those two things to survive. And so those are going to be the things they look for first, and then they'll find food within those areas.
You know, a lot of this fish, it won't be too many weeks now before we're starting to look at when these fish are getting ready to spawn. And you've already got eggs in them. Almost every kind of fish that lays eggs starts developing them in the fall, it almost seems like. But, you know, that is going to make a difference as we get later and later and later in the ice season here, too, towards spring, as far as the fish location, because they start moving and straight staging to think about that as we get real late in the ice, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So it'll start to determine where they are, and especially once you get into that early ice out period, or early panfish or whatever, they're all kind of staging, looking for warmer water to get gear up for their spawning season. Another thing that it affects though is behavior. You know, you catch a lot more female pike in the winter than you do in the summer. And we have data on this, but you know, ice fishing is a time when they're packing on as much calories as they can to produce those eggs in a way that the males don't really have to do. So sometimes the catch in the winter is majority female, whereas in the summer it's more often like 3-1 male to female.
Well, which fish?
So,
Which fish start to spawn first? I know perch are probably the first one, aren't they?
You know, it does vary a little bit. Typically, we'd say pike. They're like in the high 30-degree range for water temperature, which is pretty much as the ice is going out. Perch and walleye are usually in the 40s, maybe low 50s some years for perch. And then muskie are more like the mid-50s. So those are kind of the four species. Those are our broadcast spawners in this area, which means they're just going out and dumping eggs and, you know, hoping for the best. They're not protecting those eggs in any way. The nest guarding species, which is the bass and the panfish, are all just a little bit later in the 60s and 70s for water temperature.
Well, then there's probably some fish out there that could be spawning actually as the ice is leaving the lake.
Yeah, sure. So northern pike spawn, like basically if the ice is leaving the lake, sometimes walleye, depending on how the ice goes. You know, if they can be out there spawning, if there's a big sheet of ice bouncing around, we definitely saw that last year on the triple foliage. We don't have them a whole lot around here, but in, you know, other parts of the state and Midwest, we have a lot of them. Burbot, they spawn under the ice. They're spawning right now, which is pretty crazy. So they have a just totally different spawning mode because they're a fully unique type of fish. You know, they're in the cod family. It's the only freshwater cod we have, and that's how they do it. You know, they don't care if it's dark and extremely cold. That's their spawning season.
Well, Max, it's been a pleasure having you on here again. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to you here as we approach spring a little bit more. But lots of great information and stuff like that we talked about here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to get all that out in the world, and we'll be seeing people around.
Well, thanks again, Max.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking walleyes and fishing with walleye tournament pro Keith Cavias. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearms superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you had a chance to talk to one of the top walleye tournament pros out there, Keith Cavias, about finding fish and finding walleyes. Keith, I know you guys have won a lot of walleye tournaments. A lot of the fishing you do is trolling, but you also fish with jigs and other baits too.
Oh, yeah?
You know, you look for those walleyes out there when the depth finder, a lot of times you're looking for fish, right?
I absolutely am looking for fish. Even if I'm trolling or anything, I'm, you know, if I'm not seeing fish on my fish finder, I don't fish there. And I'll say the only exception to that might be if the fish are extremely shallow, 3, 4, 5, maybe 8 feet of water, and it's clear water. You know, obviously you're going to spook a fish if you run your boat over that. But anything else, first of all, I look for the fish with my depth finder. I don't even really start fishing, and that's for trolling, jigging, or anything. I want to see something down there that looks like fish or looks like bait or something that the fish might be holding on before I even start to fish. Because no matter what I talk about, whether it's a hot lure or a technique or a way to hold your mouth or whatever it is, anything I tell you about fishing isn't going to work if fish aren't down there. So you always want to look for fish first. Then secondly, if you're fishing especially a little bit deeper, say 15, 20 foot deep, when you mark a fish, fish for that fish. And you know, I see a lot of people that are graphing down the shoreline. Oh, we marked some fish. They graph quite a ways down the shoreline, and then they, we should set up and go down this shoreline. Well, instead of going down the whole shoreline, go right where those fish were. If you mark them, many times them fish will be there for a little while, and then they'll swim off. So the quicker you can get back to where you marked them, the better it is. And a lot of the new depth finders are great at this because you have GPS incorporated right into the fish finders. So for example, on my Lowrance units, if I mark a fish, a nice arc on my screen, I can scroll back with either with a touch screen with my finger or with the arrow on the side of the unit. I can scroll back to that fish, put the cursor on the fish, hit a waypoint, save a waypoint right on that fish, so that then I can move my boat back around and either drag right over that waypoint if I'm doing something like bottom bouncers or crankbaits, or if I'm jigging, move just outside of that waypoint and actually throw to those individual fish. So it's kind of like hunting, you know. Maybe you're glassing them at first or spotting them at first, but once you spot them, you should be fishing for those individual fish.
I notice that sometimes if you got fish that are hugging the bottom real close, you don't get really what you kind of expect, that classic picture that you expect to see a fish. You'll sometimes just see little humps on the bottom and stuff, and you got to kind of learn to interpret that stuff, I think.
Yeah, you really do have to learn to interpret your screen, and one thing that you always want to look for is separation, of course. Even if it's a, you know, if you see a little bump on the bottom, and like with a better unit, if you see that bump and there's just a little thin line below that bump between the bottom and that bump, that separation tells you automatically it's a fish. But you also have to learn that maybe sometimes those fish are so tight to the bottom, all they look like is bumps.
Yeah.
And so sometimes fishing bumps is a good thing. Now, one thing I have learned over the years is I like to carry an underwater camera with me. And the main reason is if I see those bumps and I fish through them and I don't catch them, I like to go back through and just verify in my mind, oh, those are fish sitting there, or those are actually rocks or something down on the bottom making a bump that aren't fish. And so that's where a camera can be very, very good. It can actually teach you what's going on below the water. Then you can shortcut it by learning how that actually looks on your depth finder. So, yeah, bumps on the bottom. I've caught a lot of them, but I've also fished for a lot of rocks.
Yeah, interesting. You know, the equipment can show you a lot, but it's not 100% not yet.
Oh, no. Everything is, you know, and even if they are fish down there, that doesn't mean that they're going to bite, or if they're fish, they're walleyes, you know. So the equipment is great. You'll see what's down there. You know, there's a lot of now structure scanning stuff, side scanning stuff, down scanning stuff that show you even more precise pictures. But when it comes down to it, even if there are fish down there and that depth finder marks it, you still got to be skillful enough to fool those fish to bite and get them in the boat.
Keith, you know, when it comes to walleye fishing in the wintertime, you know, any tips for our listeners out there on finding fish? I mean, in summertime, you know, we can run around, move around a little bit more, but it's harder to move around on the ice.
Yeah, I think one of the things to first do is kind of look at the kind of areas that you're fishing. If you're on a place on the lake where you've got structure, maybe a reef or a shoreline break or something like that, where the fish might be hanging on that and using it as an ambush point, waiting for the bait to come to them, and they're kind of hiding on the break or behind rocks or something, that's a real good place to drill a lot of holes, because you need to find where they're actually living on that structure. Conversely, if you're fishing in a place where it's maybe like a big mud basin or a flat, the fish are very likely on those big mud basins to actually be swimming around looking for the bait. They aren't holding in one little particular spot like they were on that structure. So in that case, a lot of times it's a little bit easier because you can literally wait for them to come to you. You can actually wait for them to kind of mill into you and find you. So based on the kind of situation that you're fishing or the kind of bottom that you're fishing, depends on whether you should drill a lot of holes or just kind of wait them out and wait for you to come.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNOradio.com. And from there, you can link through to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.